Hi everyone, I'm Mark Jasper. Welcome to this extended edition of the No Spoiler Reviews podcast, where today I'm going to be interviewing Florian Froschmeier, renowned writer and director of 17 TV movies, 46 episodes of primetime TV drama, two feature film scripts, and creator of filmmaking software, Script to Movie. Hi, Florian.
Hey.
So, Florian, where did you get the time to fit all this in?
I'm 48 years old. So I had some time.
Okay, so for some of people who might not be familiar with your work, how would you best describe your style?
That's actually very hard for me because I'm just a passionate storyteller, and I'm always interested in a good story. And I actually I'm not sure if I have a style. People who have seen my work tell me they recognize my style. I don't know what my style is. I just like to entertain people in various genres and various formats. As you said, I did series, I did features, I did TV movies. So I'm always trying to do not to repeat myself too much. It can be a hard thing when you're doing crime stuff, but that's basically what I'm looking for, to not repeat myself.
Because that's a kind of crowded genre. What drew you to that?
Yeah, basically in Germany, when you are doing TV, I started 20 years ago, there is only hospitals and crime stories in German television. So in German, we say Krimi oder Klinik, which means like crime or hospital, yeah. And so that's basically the only two genres you have. And I don't know. My first film I ever did in Switzerland, my feature was called Exclusive, and it was a thriller. And it was inspired by Seven in its look. And so that was my story. I was 24 years old. And that was my reference. So it was obvious that I'm not going to do hospital TV series after that one. So I started out in the crime genre. And so once you're in the drawer, you're in the drawer, and it's hard to get out.
Cool. So when you were starting out, when was the light bulb moment when you thought, okay, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life?
I can tell you that very exactly. It has been on December 28, 1985. It was the day I saw Back to the Future for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the moment where I decided this is what I want to do. And it was really not, I don't know, writing or acting. At that moment, it was, I want to do that as a director. I was like 13 years old, 12 years old, and no, 15 years. I was 15 years old and, no, let me count again, 13 years old. And so my Paul McCartney was Robert Zemeckis at the time.
Got it. So what attracted you to television drama rather than cinema?
I think that was not my way of thinking. I just wanted to make films. And I started out in cinema because in Switzerland there is no TV industry. I'm born and raised in Switzerland. And my first film is a Swiss film. And there is only, if you're starting out, you only can do shorts or you can do cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and did cinema. And then when I moved to Germany, because I was eager to work in an industry, in Germany, the only industry you have is a TV industry, because you have like five networks that are doing their own content. And at the time in the early 2000s, you had much more in volume that was being shot here in Germany. So that's why it became TV. It was not a decision for either one or against either one. It was just the opportunity was in TV.
Got it. Do you feel there's anything that you can do on TV that you couldn't do in cinema?
Yeah, definitely. Especially when I started out in the first crime series I did. It's just I could work consistently and I could try out stuff because I never went to film school. So basically my early years doing series here in Germany, I always say that was my film school because I had the script and I had the actors and I had the professionals around me. And I of course I knew what I was doing, but still every day I I was the inexperienced guy on set, and I just tried to learn from everybody. I still do, you know. I still like just to, if I'm visiting a set, it's the best thing for me because I'm just observing people and learn.
What are the biggest challenges you ever faced, whether it be writing or directing?
Getting work. I think when you're starting out and you're doing your own stuff, I think it's financing, of course, surviving. And then once it becomes your profession and you make a living of it, then it's finding the projects that not only make you money, that also fill you with passion for the story you're telling. What I learned in the past years is to say no more. So if I'm getting a script, when I was younger, I was like, okay, I'm cool, I make it, because I just wanted to work. And at some point, I realized I have to be a little bit more picky, just to do better films. Because when you're not writing your own script, when you're getting a script, there is some writer behind it that worked his ass off, and he deserves a director who sees his vision in his story and protects it. And of course, you as a director, you have your own vision, but in the end, the story was first. And so if I'm doing TV here, I see it as my obligation to protect the writer's vision and his story. So it became much more important to me to be picky, to pick those scripts who I really understand, where I really think I am, I add value to the project.
So, I mean, given the explosion of TV production values over the last 20 years, and certainly with the arrival of new studios like Netflix and Amazon, is it easier to get projects off the ground now compared to before?
From my perspective, I would say definitely no. It's harder.
Why is that?
Because actually, I think I have no numbers here to back that up. But my feeling is that the amount of productions that were shot, let's say in 2003-04, are still way, way higher than today. Because especially if you look only at the German market, you have... you have RID, ZDF, and you have, Sat1. So basically, those are the three networks that RID, ZDF, they are doing the major amount of productions. In the 2005s, you had three or maybe sometimes even four private funded networks that had like 5 nights a week from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. with their own content. Now it's all bought stuff. They don't do original content anymore. So, and Amazon and Netflix, their volume in Germany is growing, but I would say it's still like 5 shows a year, maybe seven. So it's not that much. It just feels more because you have the different streamers and everybody is doing one or two, and you talk about them a little bit more than you did maybe 15 years ago with every show that was on TV then. So and then because basically every creative person now wants to work for Netflix, for one of the streamers, and so it's very hard to get in there. Because they are getting so many pitches.
Got it. So, like, what do you think about the binge culture as opposed to appointment TV? Because one of the things that I got from researching your work, certainly with Tatort, was it very much was appointment TV, where people would arrange their evenings around the availability to watch a program at a certain time.
Yeah.
As opposed to being able to download and burn their way through a series in the space of, well, maybe an evening, maybe two.
Yeah. I guess it's going to change everything on the long run. Also, it's going to change how we are developing stuff and how we are, because when you just have to fit to a certain schedule. Let's say Tatort. It's Sunday nights at 8 p.m. It's an institution for, I don't know, 50 years now here in Germany. And people just tune in because they're expecting something and they just want to have that. So you're making a film for especially that slot. And then when the film is over at quarter to 10, all, everybody has forgotten it. So it's a one watch experience. And then sometimes you have reruns and stuff. But when once the film aired for the first time, it's basically done. And for the streamers, you have to make content that is much more lasting because you don't have your whole audience in at one point. You have it over time. So those are different stories. And you need to be... It must be that good in value that I am seeing it today and I'm going to tell you tomorrow that I saw it and you are remembering that a week from now and then you are watching it. And I think if you just would put a Tatort into a streamer, it just wouldn't work. Because it's kind of always the same. It's the same for that time slot. It's what we expect and on Sundays at 8:15 p.m. So I guess, and that's not a nice perspective on one point, I think we're going to decrease in volume over time, what we're doing here, because those longer lasting shows are more expensive to produce because you need to, the development is more expensive because you need to dive in more, you need more time to develop a 8-part miniseries than you need for 8 Tatort. It's just a different ball game. So there will be more money for one project, but because the money will be the same, there will be less projects. That's what I'm thinking.
So what do you look for in a potential project?
Good story. Actually, it's just a good story that tells me something about me that I don't know yet. And that entertains me, that makes me cry, that makes me laugh, that,
So in that scenario, you're the first audience?
Yeah.
And you're making the film for you or specifically for an audience? Do you see it with the audience's eyes or do you see it with your own?
I only can see it with my eyes.
Okay.
No, actually, it's an interesting question because when you are, especially when you are in post-production, when you are in development and then later when you're in post-production, you have a lot of conversations with the producers and the network. Yeah, but the audience thinks. I have no idea what the audience thinks because I'm not the audience. I'm just me. And I know what I feel and of because I think I'm an average guy. So maybe I think like a lot of the audience. But I'm not making the films for me because when I'm finished, I actually very rarely watch them again. Because for me, the process of making is the fun. And later when, because at the time when they're finished, I saw it like 80 times. So I really have seen them. It's different with a film I'm just consuming. So I only can, because you give so much of yourself into a film that I have to be the first audience and I have to like find something for me that hooks me so I can give something to that.
Got it. So do you see yourself drawn more towards developing your own projects and writing as opposed to directing?
The older I get, the more I want to have control of my stuff. It's more this. And to have control over your stuff, you need to be involved in the development process. It's because the control starts with development. And but on the other hand, I love directing and I love the industrial working of filmmaking, so to say. So for me, it's also, I have a blast if some producer comes to me with, I don't know, a TV movie and have 4 weeks prep, 4 weeks shoot, and have 3 weeks post, that can be so much fun. And the result can be so cool. So actually, it's a hard question.
Okay. How about this? Who would you like to work with next? Who would be your dream casting?
German or international?
Both.
Both. That's hard.
I'm intrigued to see who you would suggest and what you would do with them, because I was watching the episode of Tatort with Antoine Manot Jr. and my immediate reaction was, you've turned Saturn's technique into a serial killer, and it's this cute, cuddly guy.
Yeah, because you know, I Antoine, I knew before he was the Saturn technique, and so an actor like Antoine, who I know him back from the Zurich days, in the early 90s. A guy like an actor like Antoine, who is on the one hand such a physical guy, and then on the other hand, he's just an open mind. And for me, actors, that's so hard to name names. That's the reason why it's so hard to name names, because for me, an actor who is just open to try out, to be vulnerable, to just to let him fall into a story, that's the most fun for me as a director. I had actually a dream of mine was always to work with Michel Maticevic, who is a German Croatian actor who was also in that film with Antoine, and he's such a force of a person. And that's so much fun to work with.
So what's your next project? What are you looking forward to?
There are several things are flying in the air. Nothing is actually concrete at the moment. I'm finishing up a film I did in November. I shot in November in Portugal. We are in post-production. Like in five weeks from now, we have the final mix and then the film is done. I am developing a script for a Swiss company for a feature film for the big screen, which I'm writing and directing, if we find the financing. So we're on a good way, but it's with those kind of films, it's hard. You never can say if they're going to happen or not. I think it's a very cool project and I would love to do it, but I have no idea if it's going to happen or not. Yeah, that's basically the two things that are concrete at the moment, and everything else is just floating and waiting to be picked.
Perfect. Well, look, thank you so much, Florian, for coming on the show and sharing your insights.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And thank you for sharing your insights with us. All the best for 2021.
Yeah, same to you.
Thank you. Cheers now.
Cheers.
So, there you have it. I hope you like what you heard, and if you fancy having some more No Spoiler interviews delivered to your favorite listening device, then please consider subscribing. In addition to these interviews, please check out our fortnightly No Spoiler Reviews podcasts, where we do movie news, in-depth requests / reviews, and also look at what's coming next in our Trailer Watch feature. So if that's your kind of thing and you don't like knowing the ending before you start, then I look forward to you joining us for even more interviews and reviews.